Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm sure many of you are having a heavy heart today, the same as I am, over the situation in the Ukraine. And this is a world concerning, a world enveloping situation. And you may wonder what I think about it in terms of Bible prophecy. Yes, it is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The Russian countries, the Russian Federation, and the countries around there, Turkey and all of the nations around Israel, are spoken of in the Gog and Magog War in Ezekiel 38. And so this is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, although I don't know for sure if this is the Gog and Magog War. It may just be a precursor, a warm-up to it. And so we just have to watch and pray. And we know that we're in the end times. I believe the end times started in 1948 when the nation of Israel was brought back and put back in their land. The people of Israel were put back in their land. And so I know we are in the end times. But are we in the tribulation? No, I don't believe we're in the tribulation. We haven't seen the events of the tribulation yet take place, and I don't believe we will. I'm a person who believes in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe the church will be taken out before the wrath of the great tribulation. So be that as it may, that's not what I'm talking and teaching about today. But I believe, brothers and sisters, we just need to intensify our prayers for the people of Ukraine. They are a godly nation. 70% of the people there are Christian, and the president of the Ukraine is a Jew, and so he is one of God's chosen people. Actually, there's many Jews in Ukraine, one of the greater populations of Jewish people outside of the nation of Israel. And so we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God will turn the Russian army back, that he will defeat the Russian army, that they will become demoralized, they will become deflated, they will turn back on their own. We need to pray that someone will take Putin out, and that the oligarchs or somebody in Russia who is suffering because of his activity and also just has a heart for freedom, that they take him out and Russia can become a nation that is dedicated to peace and the peaceful goodwill, the peaceful welfare and benefit of their people and the nations that surround that country. So just keep praying. I believe God is going to do something miraculous here. I believe that you're going to see something in the next few days that will just astound you and shock you. And we need to pray for our nation as well, and pray for our leaders to give them wisdom, and all the leaders of the Western world, those that are standing with Ukraine, give them wisdom and give them counsel, godly counsel, that they will know what to do in this situation and how to react and how to respond. In the Africa Theater here in Kenya, we are moving forward with plans for a children's feeding program. We're going to start that this week. A children's feeding program will be feeding 100 to 150 children and teaching them Bible stories. We're going to invite them into the Living Water Children's Home compound, which is a pretty big compound. We have about 2 acres that they can run around on. And so we're going to start that this week. And up at the church, we're building a hotel that is a roadside hotel. Here in Africa, they call a hotel like an eating establishment. So we're building a roadside hotel where people can stop in and have something to eat, and there'll be an opportunity for them to sit and relax. In Makunda Village, there's nothing like this, not even anywhere close to being like this. Makunda Village is a bit back in time, it's a bit uncivilized, and so we're going to give people a place to relax, to order something to eat, to sit, and maybe we can talk with people, counsel with them, witness with them. And so it's going to be an opportunity for witnessing there in that village. And so we're looking forward to finishing that project. We'll have it up and ready to go in a couple of weeks and be ready to serve some people some simple meals and snacks there in the Makunda Village. So today we're going to be talking about the Open Door, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, And for those of you who are already Christian, you know the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has the ministry to us to be our advocate, to be our counselor, to be our comforter, the paraclete, the advocate. And he's also our counselor, our comforter. God is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a separate person, a separate entity of the Spirit of God, a separate entity of the triune nature of God. And this is very complex if you're hearing it for the first time, but this is the Spirit of God that was given to us. And Jesus promised us the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise from the Father. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, that he would not leave us orphaned. When Jesus left this earth, the disciples, of course, were very concerned, who's going to be here with us? Jesus had walked with them for 3.5 years. They were very concerned. How are we going to function without you, Jesus? How are we going to make it without your instruction, your wisdom, your counsel, your miracles? And Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will leave with you the Spirit of truth, and he will counsel you. He will give you the truth in all things, in all situations, in every decision that we have to make. So come to rely on the Holy Spirit. Come to rely on his counsel, his teaching, his instruction, his comfort. And if you do that, beloved, you can never go wrong, because the Holy Spirit gives us the truth and the counsel that comes directly from the heart of God. So we're going to take this story up in Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Acts chapter 16. And this is the Apostle Paul and another apostle with him named Silas. And the two of them are in Asia, in Derbe and Lystra. And it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And so the Holy Spirit is counseling Paul, and he says, don't go into Asia. Don't go where you want to go. And so, beloved, this is a good instruction for us. Many times the Holy Spirit will counsel us and tell us to go here, go there. If you're in ministry today, you understand that. If you have an opportunity to go into ministry, if you have an opportunity maybe to go to another place or to another city or to another church or even into the prison or to Mexico for a mission trip, some of the things that you may have already done, the Holy Spirit will give you counsel that comes from God, and that counsel will affirm what you see in the natural. It will affirm invitations that you've been given in the natural. It will affirm encouragement that you have been given in the natural. And so here the Holy Spirit is telling Paul, don't go in to Asia to preach. And we don't know why. Maybe there was undue or exceeding persecution there. Maybe somebody was going to try to kill Paul. We don't know why. But oftentimes the Lord will give us instruction, and he doesn't give more details on that. He just gives us instruction to let us know that this is his will for our life. And so in verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And so here's the second time that the Holy Spirit puts up a roadblock and says, don't go into this place. And so in verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Well, beloved, this is a clear green light. This is a clear open door from the Holy Spirit. And God is the God of the open doors. And if you've ever had a vision or a dream like this, an instruction like this, you know how affirming and how detailed and how great it can be to give you encouragement to go ahead and minister somewhere. I'll introduce a vision or a dream. It was a dream, but it was more like a vision because it was so clear and so detailed and distinct. I still remember it now. It's 12 years now that I have been ministering, and so 12 years ago I was able to go to Africa. And the reason that I came to Africa was because of a vision or a dream that the Lord gave me in the spring of 2010. And so I had been ministering in Costa Rica prior to that, Mexico, different places, in the prison. And in the spring of 2010, I was given this dream by the Lord, and I was standing on a platform in this dream. I was standing on a platform, and I was preaching the word to thousands of black, I assumed to be African people. I had never been to Africa, had no desire to go there. I'd only seen pictures of people in Africa, really not many pictures of people in Africa, mostly children, like you see when ministries show poor and hungry children. That's the kind of vision that I had in Africa, that everyone here was starving, the children were starving, they had no food to eat. And so the Holy Spirit showed me that I was standing on a platform preaching to thousands of African people, and I was holding my Bible up in my right hand, and in my left hand I had a big white bag in my left hand, and it said Revelation 22 on the front of the bag. Well, that's the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 22 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And so those of you who know your Bible, you know that's the ending chapter, and it speaks of New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. New Jerusalem is the place where we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And so that last chapter, it says that those fornicators and adulterers and those who cheat and lie and drunkards, they will not enter the New Jerusalem. It's just for those who have confessed the Lord Jesus. It's just for those who know Jehovah God, who know their God. And so I was standing on this platform, and in this bag, this white bag, were big ears of maize, big ears of white maize, which is very unusual because we don't have very much white corn in America, white maize, but here in Africa, that's just about all they have. You very seldom see yellow corn here. It's just about all white corn. And so this bag was filled with ears of white corn, and in my right hand I had the Bible, and I was holding it up. I was preaching the word, and behind me on the platform was a big grain silo, like the kind you used to see years ago. It was a wooden slat grain silo, and it was filled to the top with ears of white maize, clear to the top and overflowing out over the top. And so the Lord was showing me that he was going to be my provision. It took me some time to pray and ask the Lord, what is it that you're trying to show me? The Lord was showing me he was going to be my provision. He was going to take out of that big silo behind me on the platform, and he was going to put it in the white bag, and that would be my provision as I went, as I preached crusades. The provision would be there as I needed money for plane trips, as I needed money for sound systems. That provision would be there. And beloved, even to this day, after preaching about 40 crusades here in Africa, the provision is still there. That grain silo is still full. And so when I step out and book a crusade or schedule a crusade, I know the Lord is going to provide. He's never failed me yet, and he has provided for me to have the provision that I need to do everything in Africa for the kingdom of God. And so in between me on the platform and the people out there in the field listening to the word, in between us were 40 men with blue shirts, red hats, and those men were intercessors. God was showing me that he was going to put them between me and the people listening. They were intercessors for my ministry, for his ministry in the nations of Africa, and these men would be my prayer warriors, my intercessors, stand in the gap for me, stand shoulder to shoulder with me, And so that was the whole vision, everything that I needed, the word, the message, the provision, the intercessors, the people to receive the message, and the word of God in my hand, everything that I needed to have a successful mission in Africa was right there in that one dream. And I thank the Lord now, 11, now into the 12th year, we are fulfilling the calling, we are fulfilling that dream, we are walking in our destiny here in Africa. Have we succeeded in doing everything that God calls us to do? Heavens, no, certainly not. I don't think anybody on the earth ever succeeds in doing everything that God calls them to do. And so we're in that same situation. There are many things that God is still prompting us to do, that God is still encouraging us to do, the Holy Spirit is still speaking us to do. And even today at this time, we're planning a crusade in Arusha, in Tanzania, probably in June. And we've got two or three here in Kenya that are calling us and backing us to come. And so the open door still exists, just like it did 12 years ago when that dream was first given to me. And so Paul is in this situation. He's been called to Macedonia. The Lord shows him in a dream, the Holy Spirit shows him in a dream, that there's somebody over in Macedonia. Verse 9 in chapter 16, it says, a man in Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Beloved, if you are in ministry or you're thinking about going into ministry and you are burning with a message, you have a desire to share the gospel, which I hope you do. You have a desire to witness to people, to testify to people. Maybe it's to start some kind of a humanitarian mission in the name of the Lord, drill water wells or provide food or some kind of humanitarian relief for the people in Ukraine. Pray and ask the Lord to show you an open door. Pray and ask the Lord if he will give you confirmation to proceed. Beloved, where there's a vision, there is provision, and you will be given confirmation if this is what the Lord wants you to do. You pray and you ask the Lord, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? And beloved, our God is a faithful God. He is a God of loving kindness. He is a God of mercy, and he will not let you down. He will show you if this is what he wants you to do. He will show you if this is where he wants you to go, and you will not be an orphan. You will not be left to wonder if this is the right thing to do. And beloved, the most fulfilling thing you can ever do on this earth is go out and minister the gospel in some way, shape, or form, and minister to those in need so that they can know the message, they can know the good news of the gospel. And as you do that, as you go, the Lord will give you confirmation. He will give you dreams, visions. He will give you provision, and you can minister in confidence and boldness, knowing this is the right place for you to be. Well, so Paul and Silas, they head to a city called Philippi, and this is the same Philippi from which the book of Philippians comes. Philippians is a letter written by Paul to the Christians in Philippi. And so in verse 12, it says, from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for several days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Well, that was the beginning of Paul and Silas and their ministry to the city of Philippi and to the Philippians and the people of Macedonia. Well, I want to talk just a little bit about the open door here in Isaiah 22:22. This is a prophecy that the prophet Isaiah spoke over Eliakim, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. Eliakim, an Old Testament personality, I guess you could say, that is a picture of Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 22 22. It's interesting that we just passed February 2nd, month 22, 2022, and now this is Isaiah 22:22. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, or in other words, on Eliakim's shoulder, on Jesus' shoulder. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. And we know Jesus was called the Son of David because he was in the lineage of David. He was a descendant of King David. And so the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he will shut and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne. And then there's another reference to Jesus as the open door in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this is the angel speaking to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. John was given a vision when he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was secluded there. He was exiled there to the Isle of Patmos, and this vision was given to him of the end days. And so in Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And so this prophecy spoken in Revelation 3:7 is almost identical to what we just read in Isaiah 22:22. And so this prophecy in the book of Revelation is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things says he, Jesus, who is holy, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And then in verse 8 in Revelation 3, I know your works, about the church in Philadelphia. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Well, there is an encouragement from the angel to the church of Philadelphia that God has set before them, that Jesus has set before them an open door. And I'm not exactly sure right this minute what that open door was, but the open door was given to that church just like it is today. Open doors are given to churches today. We began a church. We planted a church out in Macunda Village, which was mostly a Muslim village. About 60% of the people, maybe 70% of the people out there are Muslim, and it's a very backward place, you might say. A lot of customs, a lot of traditions, a lot of witchcraft, a lot of demonic things. But this open door was given us to plant a church there, and we were able to obtain some land, to purchase some land. We were able to build the church, build a pastor's house. Now we have a dukkah, a small shop there to sell soap and salt and sugar and rice and those kinds of things. We have a potion mill there to mill flour, mill maize flour for the people. And so we're staking our claim for the kingdom of God. We're taking territory for the kingdom of God in Macunda Village. We want to build a school there and have a good Christian school for our young people to go to, and for the village Christian people to go to. And so we're making our mark there for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for his great name and for his namesake. And so God has opened the door, and no man is going to shut it. We just need to stay in prayer. We just need to stay diligent, stay persevering, and no man is going to shut this door. And beloved, that is the way the kingdom works. We have the key of David, just like Jesus did, and we have the key of David to open doors that no man can shut. We have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and Jehovah God standing with us, that no door is going to be closed that God has opened. Well, this is the open door, beloved. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does and ministers to us. And so we have that assurance to know when God opens the door, no man is going to shut it. When God says go through that door, no man can stop us. Well, this is the last of the messages on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I hope you have enjoyed them. We'll have them posted on our website here shortly. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. The 17th year now, we thank the Lord for those who have stood with us. We invite you to partner with us. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a note, include a check, include prayers for us, and we will pray for you also. If you have prayer requests, you can write us a note, let us know what your prayer requests are, and we will pray with you. And we want to stand with you as you stand with us to take the good news of the gospel to the nations of Africa, to the people here in Kenya, and other nations around here. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.